Well, amen. What a tremendous, tremendous blessing we have already experienced in just being in this place today. And if you cannot sense the presence of God in this place, then there's something wrong with your senses. Amen. And but what a blessing. Thank you, choir, and all the special music that has been a tremendous blessing thus far. If you have your Bibles, if you look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 2, Luke in chapter 2, right after verses 1 through 7, and Jesus was born, we're going to be looking at verse 8 to 11. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Starting in verse 8, we'll read down to verse 11. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Amen. And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you this morning, thank you for just meeting with us. Thank you for directing each one that's here to this place today. For you knew who would be here before they even knew they were coming. And you knew exactly how you would work through this church and through this service to be able to speak to each one. And I just pray right now, God, that you would continue to work in our midst. I pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The angel says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Tidings of the arrival of Christ the Lord. For some 2,000 years, we have had this on our Christian calendar as December the 25th, as a day that we would acknowledge the prophecies of the Old Testament being fulfilled and the birth of Jesus Christ. The first tidings, that word tidings means news, an account that was unknown before. Can I tell you that news makes us aware of things that we did not know, unless we would say that's old news. Old news is something that you've already heard, so it wasn't the first time or the first tidings that you heard it. Every TV station wants to be the first to present news, first time to hear it. But the first announcement of Christ's arrival to this world was by an angel to some lowly shepherds. How God designed it. The second tiding was made by a star in the sky, a sign from heaven, to some very well thought of and highly educated wise men. What a contrast. The first that God announces to some lowly shepherds. The second announcement was to some very highly educated, well thought of wise men. This would be a day that has and is and will continue to impact this world and eternity. Amen. Tidings of the arrival of Christ the Lord. What I want to take a few minutes this morning and just share with you what God wants us to know about that. First of all, we find here that the Bible says, I bring you good tidings. I bring you good news. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior has been born. The best news that the world has ever received. The message was not, first of all, of judgment. The message was not of condemnation. It was a message of salvation. God would have us to know, first of all, of His great love to all humanity. When Jesus would come and He would be in His ministry to present that He was the Messiah, that He would establish the fact that He was the only begotten Son of God, that He would be the Savior of the world. In Luke in chapter 19 in verse 9 and 10, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as He also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. God wants us to know first and foremost the best news, the good news that He has given to mankind. And this first announcement is that there has been a Savior born. As we read in before we took the offering this morning in John in chapter 3 in verse 16, this is what Jesus presented to Nicodemus. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, anybody in this whole entire world, no matter if you're a shepherd or you're the most highly educated individual that's on this planet, no matter what your skin color, no matter what your pedigree, no matter what your financial statement might say, God wants you to first of all know in the news that He wants to reveal to you, even this morning, is God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, and we will perish outside of the Savior, and have everlasting life. But verse 17, I think I want to get you to see this even more than verse 16. It says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. That was not the first message that you need to understand that God wants you to be aware of concerning Christ. Although Jesus Christ will judge the world, and Jesus Christ will cast those who have rejected Him, whose name is not written down in the Lamb's book of life, and He will cast them into an eternal lake of fire, which is Gehenna hell. That will take place. But God does not want you to know that message first of all. God says the first message is of good news, and the good news that God wants us to understand is that there is a Savior that died for you. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Amen. See, God wants us to hear the good news. The good news is that Jesus saves. A Savior who will save me. Do you need saved? Satan would love to blind you to the fact that you are lost and on your way to a devil's hell. That what will make the difference is what you do with Jesus Christ. If you understand who He is, and if He was here in Sunday morning Sunday school in the adult auditorium class, we wanted you to understand, in order to worship Him, you need to understand who He is. And the Bible reveals to us exactly who He is. He's the only begotten Son of God. He's a Savior of the world. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. He's a virgin born Son of God. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. You first of all need to realize that's who Jesus is. And when you understand that that's who he is and the reason why he came, then you will understand the good news is that you were lost and on your way to a devil's hell. He came to pay your sin debt, a debt which you owe and could not pay. And he offers you a free gift of salvation, of everlasting life. The good news is that a Savior has been born and he will take away the sins of the world. He will save you from the wages of sin. The Bible says for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Romans in chapter 6 and verse 23 says that exactly. But I want you to look at verse 22. Before he reveals the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Verse 22, the verse before that, that says this. But now, being made free from sin. When you get saved, your sins have been washed away. Not by anything that you've done. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But when I receive Jesus Christ, his sinless blood washes away my sin. He who knew no sin became sin for me. He died for me that my sin and the wages, the penalty of my sin could be washed away. Amen. And he says, but now being made free from sin and become the servants to God. Once you have been saved, you've not saved just to do whatever you want to do. You have been saved to become the very sons of God, the children of God, and to look to serve him with your life as long as you're on this planet Earth. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end after this life, everlasting life. But through salvation, it enables me to live holy. Now, that's something. Because I'm saved and the Spirit of God now dwells within me, it gives me an opportunity to live a life that is pleasing to God, to live a life that will bring fruit to God. My life can be fruitful, but the way that it becomes fruitful is only through holiness. That means being dead to self, being dead to the world and to the sin and to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And then being aware of the purpose that a holy God has for me, one of his children and one of his servants in this life. And as I look to live for Christ and I look to live my life as to exalt Jesus Christ and present him to a lost and dying world, that is revealed as holy living. That is revealed as fruit that God is looking for. If you're saved, you have within you the opportunity and the ability to live a holy life, which produces fruit that God's looking for. My question this morning is, do you have any? My question to me, am I living and producing the fruit that God would have me to live and produce? That's why I'm still here. And can I tell you that if you're here today, especially if you have received Jesus Christ, you know him to be true. You know salvation to be a part of your life. You know you have a heaven and a home in heaven awaiting you. Have you any fruit of holiness? Any fruit of holiness? Wow. Good news is I'm saved. I'm a child of God's. And I have within me an ability through the Spirit of God to produce holiness, the fruit that God is looking for. That's good news. Not only do we have, though, this morning, go back with me in our text, not only do we have the good news of salvation, the good news that we become the children of God, the good news that we have everlasting life to look forward to, the good news that there's a purpose for my life here and now. We have that good news, but we also have tidings, or if you will, joyful news. Joyful news. Because he says it's tidings of great joy. Tidings of great joy. Jesus Christ is the greatest source of joy that the world has ever known. It's not money. It's not fame. It's not even grandchildren. Amen. The source of the joy that we should look for and desire more than any other joy is the joy that Christ brings. Amen. To understand this, in the book of Nehemiah, go back in the Old Testament, if you would. Let me just read it to you and just listen to it, write it down. But Nehemiah, as you know, Nehemiah had led the remnant out of captivity, the remnant of God's children Israel, back to Jerusalem. They had restored the temple earlier, but now they're restoring the walls of Jerusalem that would lead them to be able to have worship, to allow them to have protection from the outside world, and to be able to worship God as God would have them to worship Him. Now the walls have been completed. Nehemiah, what a tremendous success that they had in completing the walls of Jerusalem. And in chapter 8, we find their first worship session, if you will, worship services after the walls were completed. And just for sake of time, let me just read a few verses. In verse 3, it says this. They brought in the preacher. They brought in Ezra, the scribe. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning, this is verse 3, until midday. Sounds like a worship service we have today. Before the men and women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Somewhat what we're doing right now. We've opened up the Bible, we're preaching, we're reading the scriptures, and the people are attentive, at least most of you, to what's being said from the pulpit. Amen? We're reading and studying the Word of God. The Bible says in verse 6 now, it says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen. The most biblical way to respond in a worship service is with the amen. That's right. That's what the Bible says. So Ezra blessed the Lord and the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They bowed down before the Lord to worship Him. Verse 8, so they read in the book and the law of the God, of God distinctly. I want you to understand not what the man says. We want you to see what God says. So you have to have God's word. And you have to have somebody that's willing to just forego all the other things and just present to you not philosophies and not human words, but present to you what thus saith the Lord. And so they read in the book of the law distinctly, God distinctly, and gave the sense. I want you to understand what God says. And calls them to understand the reading. Understand this is not of man. Understand this is not just what the Baptists want you to believe. But understand that this comes from the very authority that God has left for us, the Bible. That's what it is in verse 8. Now verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portion to them for whom nothing is prepared. Think of others as well. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. When they truly understood who God was and the message that God had for them, it brought great joy. Verse 12. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them.
when you understand the very words of God, when you understand the very promises that God has made to us, when you understand that God had a purpose from the foundation of the world, He had a purpose for what we understand to be past. He had a purpose for what we understand to be present. And we know that He has a purpose for what we understand to be the future, and He has revealed it to us. And when you understand God's purpose, it puts it all together. And when it puts it all comes together and you see that there is a divine plan in all of this, we can be joyful no matter what's taking place around us. To believe and look forward to the fulfillment of God's promises will bring a great joy. Amen. When they were there and the angel gave them the news of the arrival of the Christ child, the arrival of the virgin-born, only begotten Son of God, it was tidings or news of great joy. And every time we think back to that day, to know that there was a day that God sent His only begotten Son when God became man. Listen to me, because you understand that was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy that ought to bring into our lives great joy. Amen. And not only that, if I have faith to believe that He came the first time, and when I think about Him coming some 2,000 years ago, and I can rejoice over the fact that God's prophecies and promises were fulfilled in the Old Testament, if I have enough faith to believe that He came the first time, then that allows me enough faith to believe that He's coming a second time. And to think about the promises that God has given to us while we're still here on this planet Earth, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That we have His word, and His word will not fail us, and His word will not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Amen. To understand when this life is over and this physical body dies, the promise of to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, listen to me, that is the joy that is unmatched by any other feeling that you could ever have. Amen. To understand that this old sinful body is going to be replaced with a glorified body. Can I tell you that that can bring a joy no matter what sufferings that you're going through right now in this physical body? No matter what you might be lacking in your physical body today, those that cannot see, and those that cannot hear, and those that cannot walk, and those that do not have hands, listen to me, one day the thing that can bring you a joy beyond any other joy is an understanding that you will one day have a glorious body. Heaven holds a healing for all of us. We have loved ones who have to suffer in the end of their lives because of cancer and because of all the different plagues of this world. To understand when they finally do pass away, I don't have to mourn over them. I can rejoice because I know, because of the promises of the Bible, they're in glory. I can see them not in a grave. I don't want to think of my loved ones have gone on before me in a grave. They're rejoicing with the angels of heaven. They have glorified bodies and they have fulfilled the purpose by which they were placed on this earth. And now rejoicing in the fruits of their labors. Amen. What a blessing. That is, if you will, tidings of great joy. Tidings, good news. No better news than the Savior's been born. Tidings of great joy. There's nothing that can bring you joy like the source of Jesus Christ. That will allow you to have joy over any of the circumstances that you face in this life. If you have it, that will give you joy over any of the circumstances that we face. That ought to make me want to have it. Give me a desire to have it. The third thought, as we must close. Not only do we have the tidings of good news, the tidings of joyful news, but we have also tidings
of world news. This is global. It's just not local. When I'm out of the city and I'm somewhere else, I'll turn on a station. I don't really care that much about the local news. This person done this and this person done that. All right, all right. It's not going to affect my life. I don't live here. Just give me good weather while I'm here. But then they give me world news. That affects my life. That affects the world that I live in. I want to understand what's going on around the world, because I understand where that world's headed. And I understand the most important news that this world needs to hear is that there's a Savior that's been born. A Savior that lived a sinless life to give us an example to how Christianity is supposed to live their lives. Then the news, this global news, that not only did he live a sinless life, but he was crucified on a cross. Not that man had the power to take his life, but he laid his life down. Global news that Jesus died for you. Global news that not only did he die, but he resurrected on the third day to prove that he was and is and will always be the only begotten Son of God. The Bible says in Luke 2:10, it's tidings which shall be to all people. All people. The tidings given to lowly shepherds on this extreme and to very highly educated wise men on this extreme and to everyone in between, which means me. The tidings given were to all people. God's message, he's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what your world status, you can have a Savior. All people need to hear of his coming. Sad. Most people are just thinking about Christmas today. Christmas was never to be a holy day. New Testament Christianity, the holy day is the first day of the week. It's Resurrection Sunday. It's a day that we have been instructed to make a holy day, a day that we've been instructed to assemble ourselves together, to worship him in spirit and truth, to bring our gifts to him. And when Christmas and Sunday intertwine, that's a day to rejoice over. Amen. Amen. Because Christmas is a reminder that there was a day that Christ came. And now it intertwines with the holy day for today and the day that we have been instructed not to forsake. And we get to have both.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Listen to me. The whole world needs to know that Jesus was and is and will always be the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world. Do you know that? Have you received the tidings that God wants you to receive? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. That was the news that God wants you to know. Good news. If you're lost here this morning, it's the best news that you will ever hear. Because once you've heard it, you have an opportunity to do something with it. The good news is you don't have to die and go to a devil's hell. Through Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Through Jesus Christ, you can have a second chance of life. You can have an opportunity to live a spiritual life. Produce fruits through holiness unto God. Through Jesus Christ, we can have the joyful news that no matter what our circumstances, it's a source that can help you to overcome it. You need that source. Oh, you need that joy. And it is world news. No one is exempt, for God so loved the world. Would you receive the news and do what God would have you do with it? Father, we bow before you. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the good news that Jesus saves. And I pray this morning, God, we have people here from all around. Only you know what their spiritual conditions are. And I know that's what you're mostly concerned about. And I pray this morning, if there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, they've heard the good news. They've heard the news that will bring joy. They've heard the news that the whole world needs to hear. Help them to receive it today. God, work in our midst now. Bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.